Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Gaming Stooges Talks podcast. We are the Gaming Stooges.
I'm Jack.
You can call me Cloud.
And I'm Landon.
We hope you enjoy today's discussion, and if you do, please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel, following us on Twitch, or joining our Discord. Let's get on with the show.
Oh, look at that.
Right on cue.
We're going back to talk about another year in gaming. This year we're going to talk about 1997, but first, I have a mistake to correct from last episode that we had done a year in retrospective last month. We talked about the year 2001, and I made a critical error in...
super critical.
Yes, especially for Landon. Yes. 2001, because... Early years in like gaming, like as far as like that far back, sometimes all the information is not there, so I tried to be complete and I somehow missed The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons, which came out on May 14th, 2001. I don't know how I missed that, but I did.
How did Landon miss it?
Original
real question.
Yeah.
Because that's how.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking about it. Man,
to be fair, it is
goblins running around my house,
and the Legend of Zelda Oracle games are, I mean, they're not like the one that everybody like remembers right off the top of their head, so oh well.
Yeah, honestly, I probably thought they came out the year prior, like I didn't remember that they come out in 2001 until we worked on a separate thing on our Discord.
Yep. I mean, we did talk about the Oracle games on one of our Zelda podcasts that we did, but did you guys want to talk about Zelda Oracle of Ages and Seasons real quick before we jump into our actual topic today?
Sure.
They could just go listen to the Zelda podcast.
Yeah.
They could, or I could give 1 trillion points to the 2001 year in review right now.
It's a lot of points.
A lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
In retrospect.
Yeah. And that's all I'm going to do is, because that's all we're going to talk about for that list now, is it gets 1 trillion retrospective points, which comes up to about 3 points total. So
I did say that they could go back and listen to it. I just wanted to ask if there was anything to add. But anyway.
They are really cool games made by Capcom.
Yeah. They are Capcom.
And they are separate games, even though everyone lumps them together like they're a Pokemon Red and Blue, but they are actually two different games.
Yeah, they are two different
games. They're very different, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so... But they do connect with each other, but they are also...
They connect and they take place in the same world, right? But other than that, like, everything else is different.
Two different regions. They are in two different regions. They do take place in the same world in the sense that it is Zelda...
Yeah,
but they are in two different regions, two different like main gimmicks. One focuses more on time. One focuses on the change of seasons.
Oh, no way!
Hence the names. Weird. But they like when you reconnect them, you get like a super dungeon at the end of whichever the second game is that you play.
We did end up mentioning all this in our podcast.
Yeah, but it's like they're really cool, awesome. Go check them out. Go buy them.
All right.
Or don't. I don't care.
All right. So today, though, we're going to talk about 1997, which was also another pretty cool year in gaming. You'll have to bear with us. All of us are sick and or recovering from being sick. So if all of our voices sound a little weird, that's why.
Hi. Tis the season.
Yep. Tis the season. I sound fine now, but just you wait in a half hour, that might not be the case. We'll see.
See, Cloud and I work in retail, so we just get sick semi-frequently, and Landon has two children that get sick from daycare and other things.
Yep. So.
So.
All right.
We're all prone.
You guys ready? Let's jump in.
Yeah.
So the first thing, I'm going to just throw this out here now. Some of the stuff, because this is 1997, before well-documented histories... when it comes to context with video game releases and other video game related stuff, not
the before times,
not everything has a specific release date. So some of the stuff that's on here, there's a vague knowing of what month it came out, But beyond that, we don't know. Like, it just says, and I've tried to cross-reference off multiple sources, different, like, reputable wiki sites, including Wikipedia itself, obviously. Even Wikipedia pages that cross-reference the same game give me different dates for some of these games, so, like, I just have to go with whatever I saw the most, like, references to.
Yep.
And the vaguest of all, at some point in 1997, we don't even know when, the Sega Genesis was discontinued. We don't know when it happened. Cool. It just happened in 1997.
Some point in this year.
Now, that doesn't mean it wasn't still being sold, because the Mark II, like the Model II that was like the cheaper model, was still being sold up until like 2000 or something. Like, I got mine pretty early. But it's like they stopped making new ones. So, yeah. Now, let's go ahead and jump in. Some of these months, we don't have a whole lot to say, but others, we'll see. I think we're going to probably get through August before we do our usual break, which is typical. The first 8 months go by faster than the last four. January, on the 3rd, starting off the year, we actually had the release of the original Diablo on PC. So,
OG Diablo, baby.
OG Diablo, cool. First in the series. Diablo is a well
plus 0 points.
Plus 0 points.
Keep that track going.
Are you going to
do this? Start at 5 or 0?
Starts at 5. No, we started.
Oh, we started at zero. Yeah.
Oh, we're starting at zero for these now.
I don't know what we started at before.
Your older reviews. Rule. We started at 5.
Zero.
But we're going to start.
We're going to start at zero for year in reviews.
Okay.
Okay. Starting at zero.
Are you going to do this for every game, or just like you could just do?
We'll
months.
See.
We could just do months.
You don't.
Depends. Okay. Depends on how I'm feeling in the moment.
All right.
If you feel strongly about a game.
Well, hopefully this...
Yeah, I might say something. But Diablo is definitely a plus zero.
All right, well, hopefully this doesn't slow us down too much. On the 15th, we had the release of Soul Blade on PS1. That might sound like a game that, like, who what is this game? It's actually the first Soul Calibur. Yep.
Yeah, which is cool.
Nice.
I
like Soul Calibur.
I haven't played Soul Blade, though, so I'm going to
I have
pass.
Not yeah. either.
Pass.
Yeah. Pass.
Pass.
I haven't played the first Soul Calibur, though.
Oh, boy. Words will be said about this one. In February, on the 10th, we had the release of Mario Kart 64 on N64.
Negative 1 billion points.
We talked about Mario Kart 64 a lot in our podcast on Mario Kart, and that's still a pretty relevant podcast, except for we didn't talk about World because it hadn't been out yet. But other than that, I mean, we said enough about this game. I like it. I think it doesn't hold up super well, but I like it as it was. In 1997, this game was the shit. So, like, this is a pretty big release for this year, at least.
It's definitely one of the... it is... There isn't a whole lot of 64 stuff. It's arguably probably this. I would say it is one of the biggest. I would say it's probably the second biggest from the year.
Yeah.
Just
skimming through what came out.
But like, probably for like most Nintendo fans, it's the biggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one was before my time. In fact, this entire year was before my time. Not in a literal sense.
I was 1997.
And technically,
Jack was a Goo Goo Gaga baby.
Yeah.
Shitting his pants. I was in kindergarten, and Landon was somewhere in the middle of those two things.
See, I was probably shitting my pants. But I do that today.
We're in February of 97. I'm not even 2 years old yet. I'm still one.
Yeah.
So I am a Goo Goo Gaga baby shitting my pants. I don't know what video games are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like Mario Kart 64 for what it is. It's not my favorite, but it hasn't aged the best.
Yay.
Not at all.
But it's a good one. I enjoy playing this especially with friends. I think local multiplayer in this game is really fun, and battle mode is very good in this game.
On the 27th, we had the release of Mega Man 8 on the PS1 and Sega Saturn. We talked about a lot of Mega Man games in 2001. We'll talk about several today because Mega Man was just pumping that shit out in the late 90s, early 2000s. Just pumping
it's
those games
crazy
out.
Crazy, though.
Mega Man 8's the one where Dr. Wily, Dr. Light talks like a fucking baby. He's like, Dr. Wowie.
Yep. Were you the voice actor?
The dub for this game is insane. It's very funny.
It is funny.
It is.
It has anime cutscenes.
That, like, when did Mega Man 9 come out? Was that
2008 or 2009, I think?
It was 2008, so it was a 11 years.
11 years go by until the next mainline Mega Man game.
To be fair, people were sick of mainline Mega Man games.
Well, yeah,
point.
They pumped them out, like, they put out 8 in,
they
like...
They put out 6 Mega Mans on the NES alone. Like,
yeah, they pumped these shit out for a while. Cloud, is this one good?
I've heard, retrospectively now, like, you know, 20 years removed, they're almost 30 years removed from this game. It's fine. It is okay. The voice acting in certain stages can be annoying. Like, there's parts where, like, you gotta do the jump, jump, slide, slide! And, like, you can't fucking see what the hell's ahead of you, and the game's just screaming at you. I mean, it's okay. Like, it controls okay. It's a little slower paced because it doesn't look like it, but it feels a little slower paced because it's more graphically detailed, but everything's still moving at a similar speed. So, it is classic Mega Man. Also in February, but we don't have, like, a specific date, is Mole Mania on the Game Boy. I did not realize this was 1997. I thought this was a little bit earlier in the life cycle. Nope. 97.
This is a good fucking game. You know what? You know what? Plus 1,015,000,000 points.
Ooh, Mole Mania. Okay. Yeah. We're 15 Mole in the Mania. Black.
We're this is probably... I'm gonna shoot my load and say
this is your favorite game that came out this year.
Actually, what did I say was my favorite game that came out this year? Because I did want this list. What did I even say? No. Kirby's Dream Land 3, I think, is technically my favorite game this year.
Yeah,
but this is really good.
Yeah,
like when this came to Virtual Console and I played through it, 3DS Virtual Console specifically. Fan-fucking-tastic game.
Yep. It's, we haven't actually talked a whole lot about this game, but it's, what would you say, like a top-down adventure game where you have to dig underground in order to, like, reach different areas? It's sort of adventure.
It's a puzzle game.
Puzzle, yeah. It does have a puzzle aspect.
It's more puzzle. It's an Iwata, like, developed game. So Iwata actually, like, made it. How do they
talk
about it on Wikipedia?
I didn't remember like what they actually like said as like a genre, but it is a good game. It's a great game for the Game Boy. The Game Boy does have a few hits this year, so yeah.
Yeah, they just list the genre as puzzle. Basically, like you are trying to get through a stage, and as a mole, you can like dig underground. So you use that to like push and pull like different black balls that are like blocking your path and trying to clear through it. It's very creative with what you're able to do, and I like it a lot. There's some cool bosses and whatnot in it. I think it's definitely, I mean, probably not nowadays, but I would claim it's like a pretty solid underrated game, especially from Nintendo themselves, because Nintendo EAD worked on this one, so yeah.
All right. In March,
yeah.
Classic.
We got a few notable releases, more than the last couple of months. The 4th, we had the release of Turok Dinosaur Hunter on the N64. That's the first Turok game.
The original $80 game.
Yes, this game was expensive. And that is
game launched at $80, to be fair, and that was 1997 money.
It wasn't the original $80 game. There were ones on the Super Nintendo as well.
I know. It's just one of the bigger ones.
But yes, it was a big game for its time. It was expensive, but it was known as being a pretty damn good game, from what I remember.
Definitely has a cult following.
As a cult following, it is in a crowded year, as we will see, though. It's so when you compare it to everything else in 1997, at least it's just kind of there and cool and good for it. But it is a notable game for the N64. Haven't played it. Pass. On the 24th, we had another N64 game. This game from Rare called Blast Corps. I heard good things about it when I was reading about it, and I saw it was a game from Rare, so I put it here. Otherwise, I don't know anything about it.
Jack, your thoughts? I know
of it, have not played it.
Pass.
All right. On the 27th, we had the release of Vandal Hearts on the PS1, which is, and I'm quoting Wikipedia, a turn-based tactical RPG from Konami. So back when Konami cared about releasing good games.
Ancient times.
Haven't played it yet. Classic.
Classic. I don't know if I've yet
seen this game. Like, I'm looking it up now, and it honestly does not look familiar.
No?
No. And honestly, it just looks like a Final Fantasy Tactics ripoff.
Which is funny, because this game came out before.
I know.
It's
They're probably.
It's more. It's probably, I was gonna say, it's more related. I mean, Tactics Ogre had come out before that, I believe.
Ah.
So I think it's, yeah, I think it might be more like trying to like be Tactics Ogre.
Which also ripped off Final Fantasy Tactics. Got it.
Yeah, even though Final Fantasy Tactics, I think, came after, but yeah.
Also came after.
And
yeah.
Tactics Ogre, I believe, is from this like the same like guy like that came up with the ideas for the same games. Anyway, on the 31st, we had Need for Speed 2 on the PS1. Need for Speed was a pretty prominent racing series that wasn't Gran Turismo back in the day, and this is the second game in the series. Classic. I haven't played it
classic.
Yet.
Classic.
Yeah, I've not played this one either. I've played Need for Speed games, just not this specific one.
Yeah, same. And then some point in March, again, don't know when in March, just know it happened. There was the release of Tekken 3 in arcades. It was released in both Japan and North America around the same time in March. And yeah, it's Tekken 3.
Now, Tekken 3, classic. Haven't played the arcade cabinet version, though. It would get released on PS1 the year after.
Yeah.
So, pass.
April, we got on the 4th, the release of Doom 64 on the N64. One of the many different ports of Doom, but this one a little bit more prominent, more well-known. It's not, I don't...
have not actually played this one.
I think this one's a little different than the original because it's N64, but I think otherwise it's still effectively the same game. But, yeah. Classic. I haven't played this version yet.
Yeah, same.
Path.
On the 30th, there was... actually, I'm going to double check this, but I swear to God it was true. Oh, wait, no, this one was true. I remember there was an RPG I had to kick off the list, and I wanted to make double check. It wasn't. Grandia was a game that was supposed to be on here, and then I realized when the game, even though like everything was saying 97, it wasn't a 97 release, that wasn't here. Wild Arms, though, is an RPG that came out on the PS1 in 1997 over here in North America. I didn't mention this in the beginning of the podcast, but as per usual, we're going off North American releases as much as possible. But Wild Arms is the first of its series. This would spawn several games between the PS1 and PS2. And it's notable because it doesn't take place in the usual setting for RPGs. It's like a Wild West and cowboys.
It's a Western JRPG.
Yeah, it is. I've always wanted to play the Wild Arms games. I played a demo of 3.
So it's an Expedition 33, if you will.
Yeah, but that one was made by French people, so that's not a JRPG.
Yeah.
That's the joke, because everyone just calls it a JRPG.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
All right, and then also at the end of April on the 30th, not a game release, we had the discontinuation of the Sega Game Gear. I don't know why we know the exact day that the Game Gear was discontinued, but not the Genesis.
And you know what? For that, minus 14 points. This is the point where Sega goes and just kills themselves. This is it. They should have kept the Game Gear going to this day.
1997 was a rough year for Sega. Like, they have, like, a couple things here and there, but like this was a rough year for them. In May, we don't have any releases, like patted down release dates for anything, and we have one game that came out this month that I could find, and that release, don't know when, just happened in May apparently. Game & Watch Gallery on the Game Boy, that is the first of the Game & Watch Gallery games.
It's, hell yeah.
So it's the...
Love Game & Watch Gallery.
I don't know which ones are on this one, but this is one of those like collections of Game & Watch titles that they put together. I think they also might have done like some like new stuff here and there with the Game & Watch style for some of these. I'm not 100% certain. But
Game & Watch Gallery, the first one was Fire, Manhole, Octopus, and Oil Panic.
Okay, so some of the classic ones.
Yeah.
Pass.
Plus 5 points for Game & Watch Gallery. Let's go.
All right.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
We'll move on to June, though. June's got a few more releases. We start with the release of Harvest Moon on the Super Nintendo on the 17th.
Yeah, I love Super Nintendo.
Now, if I remember correctly, this game did come out the previous year in Japan, but we got it in North America the year after the N64. And you know what? God bless them for releasing that, because that game spawned like appreciation for a whole subcategory of game for some people. Even if they didn't play Harvest Moon itself, like, you know, your Stardew Valleys, your, like, just, like, your, like, even in some aspects, like, sort of, like, I'm trying to think of, like, the games I'm trying to think of off the top of my head. I can't remember them all, but, like, your cozy, like, farming sim, life sim style games. Harvest Moon is, like, one of the big, like, harbingers, I guess, of that, so. Classic, haven't played it yet.
Classic.
On the classic. 26th, we had the release of Dungeon Keeper on MS-DOS, so PC. This is a Peter Molyneux game where you get to create and manage your own dungeon. So one of those weird twists on the role-playing formula where rather than actually be the hero, you are actually doing something else on the side. In this case, you actually get to be the dungeon that kills the heroes. So... cool.
Here's a fun fact. Lego Rock Raiders is asserted to be the ultimate sequel to this game.
Okay.
You can make that face, but...
okay.
I will weird. Share a link.
Okay. Join our Discord if you want to see that link. On the 30th, we had the release of Star Fox 64 on the N64, a game that Nintendo will never give up showing us in some form, and they want us to forget that every other game that came after does not exist. This is the
You know, I watched a... I forget who made it, and I'm not here to, like, promote anything just because I don't remember who made it, but I watched like part of a YouTube video the other day that was like, can a sequel be so good that it ruins the franchise?
Oh, I've seen that I recently watched that video.
And Star Fox 64 was like the main game he talked about, because it's like every game that has come since has either tried something wildly different and failed, or tried to recapture the magic of 64
and
still failed. Like, this is by far the peak for this franchise. But it's really good.
Boop. Boop. Boops.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, this game rules. I'm not trying to say, like, I'm not trying to talk shit on Star Fox 64. But, like, yeah, no, this game was so good that it kind of tanked the franchise.
I still want to play the 3D remake of this. Remaster on 3DS.
Yeah.
Classic.
I've not played the 3DS version of it, but no, this game's a classic. Yeah, it's got like multiple pathways that you can take. It's like a very short game, but like there's a bunch of different, like there's different endings. There's like a shitload of different levels. It's classic.
And then also on the 30th, we had the first Dynasty Warriors on PS1. Here's a fun fact, though. It is not a hack and slash that has, like, mobs of enemies like you know Dynasty Warriors for. Not a Musou. It's actually a fighting game.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's a Miso.
Yeah.
It's funny when, like, a game series starts off.
And one genre like, does another.
It's completely different from what it ends up becoming known for.
Fun fact, Touhou used to be a breakout style game.
I was just about to bring that up, actually. I was just about to bring up the first Touhou game.
There it is. All right.
Yep.
So that's June. In July, we had Shining the Holy Ark for the Saturn, which is the Saturn entry of Sega's Shining series. So, okay. It's a Saturn release. Cool. It is a pretty cool looking game from what I've seen. It's just a shame that it was on their Sega Saturn.
Yeah, they should make that not happen and release it on a good system.
It's such such a shame, like a game like this. Like Sega like has almost never re-released any of their Saturn games, even though like there's quite a few promising ones that I feel like they should. Oh well.
It's not impossible because there's a lot of the Saturn shmups that have ever been released have like recently been ported to a lot of like systems, and like some like other like non shmup games have also like they're just like not the Sega released games. Yeah. So.
And then on the 29th, there was the release of Dragon Ball GT Final Bout on the PS1. That is the first Dragon Ball game that ever came out. And considering that Dragon Ball wasn't even popular over here yet in North America, it was only kind of released in like a limited quantity. And then it was quickly shelved and brought back in 2004 when GT was actually over here. Really funny stuff. And then one other thing I just want to mention about it. It wasn't the first Dragon Ball game we got, quote unquote, because we did get like Dragon Power, but this is the first one that's actually got the Dragon Ball characters and everything in it. It also sucks.
It's actually
played it. Don't like it.
Dragon Ball like licensed, not a
reskin.
Yeah. Minus 25 points because this game sucks ass. Go away.
Yeah.
Get out of my face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, funny story about... it was Ultimate Battle 22. Never mind.
In August, we had two releases that are put of note. The first, on the 20th, there was Sonic Jam on the Sega Saturn, which is a collection of the four mainline Genesis Sonic titles. And I say four... even though it's like it's kind of four, it's kind of three, but they did split up Sonic 3 and Sonic & Knuckles in this one, so it is four.
It is four games. It's weird. There's four cartridges.
But they did those four, and they had this cool little like museum like 3D environment you could run around in with Sonic information called Sonic World. So that was kind of cool. Classic. Yeah. Haven't played it yet.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's a classic Sonic collection.
I'm pretty sure the reason why they made this is because they looked at the Namco Museum games, which already had come out a couple of like different volumes on the PlayStation 1, and Sega was like, "We could do that." And then they
did. We could make money.
And then they did. And then on the 25th, there was one of the biggest releases of the year, GoldenEye 007 on the N64 on the 25th.
Yeah,
GoldenEye.
It's GoldenEye. It's a classic, even though it kind of controls like shit.
This versus Mario Kart for 64 Game of the Year.
Yep. Fight over the golden gun with your friends.
Although, like, spoiler, Diddy Kong Racing also came out this year, so, like...
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that. Never mind.
Those are, like, it's, like, plus Star Fox, like, this is... for not having, like, a mainline Zelda or, like, a main, like a Mario platformer, you've got some good stuff.
Not the strongest year for the 64, but definitely some highlights.
The thing about the N64 is that, and I mean, I'm honestly, I think we're probably just going to see a running trend if we go through every year that the N64 was relevant. It's a quality versus quantity sort of thing. There's not a lot of N64 games because everybody was making PlayStation.
There's not a lot of 64 games.
Exactly. There's not a lot of 64 games. A lot of people were making PlayStation games. But we do get like these, like what few things we have, like are all pretty notable shit. Like Mario Kart, GoldenEye. We're going to get Diddy Kong Racing. We're going to get Star Fox. Like, it's all pretty good shit. It's just there's not a lot of it. But that is up to August. If someone else could please do the honors. My throat hurts and I need nourishment.
Yeah, I'll do
so
it.
So we have our usual housekeeping, and then we'll come back with...
Oh, we're doing that now. Okay.
Yep, and then we'll come back in for September when I'm back.
Cool. Hey, everybody. I'm going to be the one that does this. Oh, boy. I'm already screwing up. Hey, we have a Patreon. You can join our Patreon for either the $3 a month for Silver Stooge tier or $5 a month for Gold Stooge tier. Both tiers get you exclusive content. We do monthly videos on Patreon that are exclusive to our Patreon. We have polls that you can vote on to decide what future content you want to see as far as streams and podcast topics are concerned. You have the power to choose. This was a poll loser, actually. We had this up against the year 2001, I think. And 2001 we already did, so obviously it won, but yeah. Let's see, we have a Discord. You can join our Discord. Gold Stooge. Shout out to Al. If you get Gold Stooge tier, you get a personal shout out from us. Currently, Al in the chat right now is the only one, so shout out to Al. And let's see, we have a Discord. You can join our Discord and keep up with... It's pretty much the only way to keep up with when we stream and when we do podcasts, because we post our schedule there weekly. And we talk and hang out and have fun. So, if you're cool. Let's see. Streams right now. We're all starting new ones. Like, Cloud, you just finished No More Heroes.
Yep.
And you're about to start Super Mario Odyssey.
Excited for
coming
that.
Coming up. By the time this goes up on RSS, then that will have already started. But, cool. Let's see. What's Lennon doing again? Chibi Robo.
Yeah, Chibi Robo.
Forgot about that.
I mean, Lennon just finished.
Lennon just finished Dragon Quest IV, and he is about to start Chibi Robo. Although, again, by the time this goes up on RSS, he will have already started that. And me,
you,
I just
you.
Started. You, burp, burp, burp. I just started Yakuza 0, and that has been a blast so far. I am kicking myself for not playing the Yakuza game sooner, because two streams in and I'm already like, this is fantastic. Like, this game is extremely fun and doesn't take its... It takes itself just the right amount of serious, where, like, the more sincere moments are sincere, but then you also have, like, goofy side shit where you can play Space Harrier or go bowling or do karaoke. And it's great.
Do you think you're going to become a fan of this series?
I mean, probably. I'm probably going to play another. I'm probably going to stream another one at some point. It's this was Al's plan.
Get him addicted to that shit.
I endorse this,
Speaking
by the way.
Of addictions.
Yeah.
Tillamook.
What do you have for us, Lennon?
Tillamook.
I have...
Is that Marionberry Pie?
Marionberry Pie. Rich vanilla ice cream with pie crust pieces and ripe Oregon Marionberries, baby.
Fuck
that
yeah.
shit. Let me eat it now.
As always, we are not sponsored by Tillamook. Yet. Wink. But, you know.
They don't have to do much.
No.
Alright. So, jump back in. We're going to September, where the holiday season is beginning when it comes to throwing game releases out there. So this is going to ramp up a bit for the next few months. The first release, I'll get this out of the way quickly for Landon's sake. It's on the 7th, Final Fantasy VII for PS1.
Minus 100 points. Times 7.
Wait, time. Hold on. I got to math that.
700 minus. Are you
okay?
Wait,
hold on, Landon. Now,
are you minusing after the? Or no? Are you multiplying after the result, or are you multiplying the seven of like
well,
seven?
If we're going by,
yeah, I don't know.
If we're going by order of operations, it would be 100 you said 100, right?
Minus 100. Mm-hmm. And it then would, multiply it that by 7.
It would be minus 100 times 7, which is actually a positive 700. Because when you multiply a negative by a positive, you get a positive.
That's not how that works.
So just minus 700 then?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what he wanted.
Was going to be cheeky with it.
I mean, Landon hates this game because it's called Final Fantasy.
I haven't even played it yet, baby.
This is one of my favorite games of all time. I don't think Jack has even played this game. He's just kind of in the middle.
I've played a little bit of it, not the entire thing, but I would like to one day.
I will say, I was the one, when we were brainstorming the years we would do for the poll, I was the one who suggested this, and I knew Final Fantasy VII. The only reason why I suggested it is because I knew Final Fantasy VII released this year. To give the floor so Cloud could talk about this game.
This is pretty easily the biggest game to come out this year.
Yeah, like, unfortunately for Landon, it's like this and GoldenEye, and then it's not even, it's hardly even close as for most people. Like, there's some, like, big releases across all over the year, but, like, those are going to be the two big ones. It's GoldenEye and it's Final Fantasy VII. At least for our neck of the woods. In other territories, it's definitely different. Like, Japan doesn't give a shit about GoldenEye, but over here, yeah, it's those two. I mean, what can I say other than it was the game that started kicking off, like, 3D RPGs on the PS1 in, like, full force. Like, we had a couple before this, but after FF7, it was like, boom, 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 just RPGs out the fucking wazoo. So, yeah. Got quite a lot. I'm going to be streaming this at some point in the near future, when the clock rolls over to the year 2026. Yes, I said clock. I did that on purpose. So, yeah, look forward to that. On the 11th, we have the release of Mortal Kombat 4 in arcades. It is the first Mortal Kombat to use 3D graphics for its first
I think
game.
People hated this one. I'm not going to lie. I don't remember, but I think this is like one of the bad ones.
From what I was reading, the arcade version was like fine. Like, people didn't really care for it, but it was like, it wasn't like hated. But when it was ported to other consoles, I don't remember hearing anything good about that. So, okay. Classic, haven't played it yet. But here's something even cooler. On the 12th, the next day, we got the release of the Tiger Electronics GameCom. Because Tiger Electronics makes top quality hardware.
Plus 117 points.
Oh boy. Okay, hold on. I need a calculator for this.
Tiger Electronics is known for really like low quality, like bare minimum effort standalone electronic games, and they're usually like the same kind of like depth as like a Game & Watch, but even worse because like
you said 117, Lennon?
Yeah, you said 117. Uh-huh. Okay. And now imagine Tiger Electronics making a whole game console with swappable cartridges. What could possibly go wrong?
Everything.
I just remember on GameSpot, over at the Sonic Spot Union Board, we had an officer there, and he had played and reviewed Sonic Jam for the GameCom. Not related to the Sega Saturn version, by the way. That game apparently was fucking garbage and one of the worst Sonic games of all time. So, cool.
Hell yeah.
Anyway,
crazy.
Moving on. On the 18th of September, we got the release of Oddworld Abe's Odyssey on the PS1. Haven't played it, but have heard, you know, there's a cult following for this game. A lot of people like it a lot. Notable release for the PS1.
Oddworld's a big series. I mean, relative. It's a niche series, but it's a good series.
On the 25th, also released on the PS1, with a Saturn release the next week, we got Mega Man X4 on the PS1. And that is the first of the Mega Man X games on the PS1, the first three on the Super Nintendo. This was one of the good ones, because this is before X6, so Yeah.
Yeah, X4 is a good one, actually. It's a hell of a lot better than X3, which some people would disagree with. A lot of people like X3, but I think it's kind of boring. X4 is good. I like this one.
I mean, for what it's worth, I've heard that in some manner, all of the first five X games are good. And
yeah,
four is between 1 and 5, so that's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
It'll go downhill from there. We already talked about this in the 2001 podcast. On the 28th, released on PC, there was Total Annihilation. Yes, that is the name of the game. It was a critically acclaimed strategy game released on PC. I do vaguely remember it because the name is fucking awesome.
Nice.
Haven't played it yet.
God bless you. Damn.
Jumanji.
That actually made it go away. That's insane. Like, after he said it, it just faded away. All right.
Wapod, are you allergic to crocodiles?
I might be, because on the 29th, there was the release of Croc Legend of the Gobos on PS1. I have played this game. It's a little weird. It's a 3D platformer, but it has tank controls. So, like, you, like, swing around... when you like rotate the like when you move the stick left and right rather than freely move left and right, and you still do your jumping and your and like if you try to move backwards, you kind of like back up a little bit instead of like actually turn around and go. It does make the platforming weird, but they do design the game around it. It's not a great game by any means, but it did end up getting a sequel, and it was pretty popular on the PS1. This game sold a lot of copies, so.
I've only played Croc 2 for the Game Boy Color, so pass.
I have played none of the Croc games. Pass.
I will give this game a smidge.
Hell yeah.
Moving on to October. This is one of our two biggest months. And to kick things off on the first, we have two releases. The first of which we're going to talk about real quick is Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero, released on the PS1. It was released on N64 later in the year, by the end of the year. But it is notable for being not a fighting game.
How do you make a non-fighting fighting game?
Well, it's not a fighting game.
Easy.
You just have Sub-Zero in like some, I don't know, I didn't even look at it. I remember this game existing.
I have never heard of this game, honestly.
I think he made it up just to fill time.
I've heard of it. It was notable for being a game that had background, that was like background for Sub-Zero's story, but nothing else. It was unremarkable. But on the N64, there was an also weird game. We had Mischief Makers, which I remember for having god-awfully ugly box art / label art. But I've heard it's a fairly decent game.
Hold on, I need to refresh my memory. What the hell is it? Oh, yeah. I remember this game.
You.
I remember seeing the box art anyway.
Yeah.
Burn it.
It looks ugly, but when you play it, it's fine.
It's not the ugliest box art that came out this month, I will say.
Oh, Al actually played Sub-Zero. Never got past the first stage. Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah.
All right. On the third, one of the biggest releases this year for the PS1, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. That is regarded as one of the best games on the system. Forget one of the best Castlevania games. Forget one of the... Like, this is a... Like, one of... Like, it's... I don't remember if this sold super well or not, but, like, I hope it did, because it's been highly regarded.
Pretty sure.
This game is the reason why Castlevania is half of the Metroidvania genre of games.
Arguably, yes. Like, yeah, Castlevania existed before this game.
Yeah, but this is the first one that is, like, a Metroid-style game. Where it's, like, open-ended, and you can go in whichever fucking direction you want. I have not played this. I have not played a ton of Castlevania games, but I really want to one day. I really think this would be, like, right up my alley.
The PlayStation and Saturn versions, sold a total of 703,000 units in the United States and Japan.
That's not a lot. That's really low.
No, not a lot.
That's so sad.
It was pretty mediocre for sales.
Which sucks, because it's
when's Rondo of Blood getting a stream?
No.
On the 4th, we had the release of Saturn Bomberman, which was a Sega Saturn Bomberman game. It wasn't just like a repurposed like other game brought to Saturn. Like, it was like made for the Saturn, and that is why it's called Saturn Bomberman. That's all I know about
it. Plus 1 point for Castlevania.
Castlevania. And then tragic news on the 4th of October as well. There was the death of the legendary Gunpei Yokoi. Rest in peace. That man is responsible for tons of amazing toys and hardware designs from Nintendo.
I don't want to give points or deduct points for the death of someone, but Gunpei Yokoi, fantastic human. I mean, he made the Ultra Hand.
He was pivotal in
the
creating
Game & Watch and Game Boy.
He was pivotal in creating the D-pad that we know and love today. He would go on to try to make the Wonder Swan, which, even if it didn't succeed, was an incredible system for what it was. Like, that man
was the producer on a lot of like the NES era, like Nintendo stuff and Game Boy stuff.
He was literally a genius. He made a lot of crazy good cool shit. So
everything from Donkey Kong to Metroid and Kid Icarus and other things like Balloon Kid. But he also was the producer on Soul Striker, a Gaming Stooges certified classic.
Rest in peace to the great Gunpei Yokoi. On the 10th of October, there was the release of Fallout on MS-DOS and Windows PCs. Yeah, the original Fallout.
The first one.
Yep.
Have not played this game. I'm aware of it, obviously. I have seen people play it.
Ooh.
General consensus, honestly, even like the OG Fallout purists are like, I think most people prefer 2 over the first one, just because it's like,
yeah,
better and more of it. So
you don't generally hear a lot about Fallout 1, to be fair.
Yeah,
but it did spawn a series. So
yeah.
On the 13th, speaking of spawning a series, we had Age of Empires released on PC.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Have not played this one. I played 2 and 3 and Age of Mythology.
Does this get any points?
From
spawning the Age of Empires series?
Spawning the Age of Empires series, a series I cherish, plus 1 point.
Okay.
All right. They still got to dig out of that hole that Final Fantasy VII put this whole year in.
Man, if only they could put out like a really, 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 really fun Game Boy game featuring some monkeys.
Well, damn. I guess we'll see.
That'd be crazy.
But before we get to that, we got the 16th saw the release of Bushido Blade on PS1, which is a fighting game published by Square featuring samurais.
I have played this
game. You
have?
Is it good?
Yeah. It's entertaining. Like, a friend and I played a little bit, like, just some versus matches, and it's definitely a good one.
It looks like it'd be fun just as, like, the gimmick. Just, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Another series-spawning game releasing on the 22nd, Armored Core on PS1. First Armored Core game. A lot of games coming
up. It's, like, three pretty big franchises that were started in this month.
Yeah, just this month.
1997.
Like, forget the whole year where we got several other entries like that. Just this month, we got a bunch.
We got three of them.
On the 23rd, the very next day, on the N64, there was a release of a game called Clay Fighters 63 and a Third. It is a...
This. is that game.
This game's fucked up.
This game sucks.
This is a wacky, weird, dumb fighting game.
Yeah, it's bad. It controls like shit. It does not feel good to play at all.
And the funny thing is I'm pretty sure that that's not a mistake. I'm pretty sure that's by design. They wanted this game to feel weird like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that was unintentional.
Arguably, and I don't even think it's really an argument, out of all the games we are talking about for the Nintendo 64 this year.
Probably the worst one.
Easily the worst one.
Yeah.
It was notable, though. So I did put it here.
It's
yeah,
notably pee-pee.
Notably shit.
And then on the 27th, we had the release of Donkey Kong Land 3 on the Game Boy.
Oh banana. Last year, I played through all three Donkey Kong Land games because Nintendo was gracious and dropped them all on NSO. They are all, like, really fun. I'm going to give this plus 684 points.
Okay.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. Folks at home will know that's a net plus 1 point from when Final Fantasy was dropped.
You're higher than you think you would be.
Not including the other stuff I dropped. Oh, I know. I think I know where I'm at. Don't worry about it.
All right.
I have points exactly to take away at. Still.
Yeah.
On the 31st, there was two more games that came out. One of them, to a varying degrees of quality between these two, I'd probably say. The first one, Frogger on the PS1. I put this here because I talked about it in a previous podcast. It was a really, really well-selling game for some reason on the PlayStation. It also sucks.
Hell yeah.
And then
should I not played this one?
Should I just take away 10 points for no reason then?
Sure.
Yeah, minus 10 points. Why not?
All right. But also,
Cloud says this game sucks.
It does suck. Like, it's not good.
Should I take away another 10 points? Another 10 points.
Damn.
Okay.
On the 31st as well, though, there was the release of Riven, the sequel to Myst. As the name implies, it is the sequel to the game Myst, which is a popular adventure game on PC.
Hey, that's the full title.
The game is Jack. Called Riven, the sequel to Myst.
The sequel to Myst.
I'm a little confused. Do you think this game is at all related to the hit PC game Myst?
I don't know. Maybe
this
not.
Might be like a Monkey Island spinoff or something.
We'll get there.
Really, it's just called Riven, the sequel to Myst.
It's a good.
That's a great name. Great what name, if honestly. The
Wii U
I
was actually
it.
Called Wii U, the sequel, sequel to Wii. The Wii.
Honestly, yeah. It would sell better.
Probably would have sold better.
Is that a better name? Man. Assholes
fact,
on the internet.
In fact, I think it'd be badass if they didn't call it Wii U. They called it U, sequel to the Wii.
Oh.
You know what?
I
you're,
like
you're
this.
Cooking here, Clay.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. But yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, it is Riven, the sequel to Myst, and Myst is a well-known, well-respected PC game, and I've heard great things about this one as well. When it was ported to consoles, not so much, maybe, I don't know, but it's a notable PC release, so, you know, I've been trying to make sure that notable PC releases are getting into our year in reviews. For some years, kind of hard to find that, but because we're not PC gamers, but yeah. We're going to move on to November, though, and on the 4th, we had the release of Diddy Kong Racing on the N64. As far as, like, how games have aged, Diddy Kong Racing has aged much better than Mario Kart 64, and would probably be looked at now as the better game. It had a whole adventure mode, a bunch of courses, it is just a solid kart racer, and honestly, like, one of those games that, like, despite the genre, like, it had a lot of to chew on as far as content goes. Really great N64 game.
Second best racing game we're going to talk about for this year. Easy.
I know what he's talking about for the first one.
Well, oh, yeah. Yeah, never mind.
And you it know what? For Diddy Kong Racing 64 plus 64... hundredths of a point.
Oh.
Hundredths.
So,
0.64.
So 1/64th?
No, it would be 0.64.
Okay. Okay, 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 okay.
Yep. So the whatever his score is, it's going to end in 0.64. I love it.
We'll see.
Maybe. Unless he decides to do decimal shit with other stuff. We'll see. On the 6th...
I wish I could spoil what the score is right now, because it's very funny.
On the 6th, Crash Bandicoot 2 Cortex Strikes Back came out on PS1. Another big PS1 release is the sequel to Crash Bandicoot, which was a blockbuster 3D platforming hit. So, yeah, this game I played... I think this is my personal favorite of the Crash games. You got a lot of cool shit in there, like Coco, Crash's sister. You had the polar bear you can ride on at a bunch of levels. Just all around fun game, fun time. Thumbs up.
Minus 15 points because it brings Cloud joy.
Wow.
Yeah. Neat. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
But minus 15 points because Cloud had positive things to say about it.
I guess so.
I've played a bit of Crash 2. I haven't like played it extensively, but it's fun. I like it.
No, I'm gonna keep the point detraction.
Okay.
On the 7th, the release of San Francisco Rush Extreme Racing on the N64, which port of the arcade title from the previous year, but it was notably a good port, and I put it in here. And it was one of those games where when it came to the N64, it did have a bit of a following. I tried to keep some games that like came out in like a previous year on like a different system from being on here, because I could have added a bunch of other games. But like, if it was a good port, like that, like quite a few people like, then I was like, okay. So I haven't played this one though, so yeah. Speaking of something that was mentioned earlier, on the 11th we have the release of The Curse of Monkey Island on PC.
Hell yeah.
I actually did not know that there was a Monkey Island game coming out this year. That came out this year. I just threw out the first PC title that came to
this
my brain.
This is the Curse of Monkey Island, yes. I have to say, I'm glad that I found this when browsing through my notes today. Because up until today, when I was finishing the notes, I did not see this game. I was like, how could I have forgotten this game? How did I miss this game? This is a notable ass PC game for this year. Like, this is a big
plus one. Yeah. Point for The Curse of Monkey Island. It was a good game.
Yep, it's a notable release there. On the 13th, also on PC, there was the game Blade Runner, which is considered a sidequel to the movie that came out, what was it, 15 years ago?
Something like
that.
It was
like, yeah, like 1982? That the movie came out? Well, here's a game 15 years later that's related to it somehow.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Go nuts.
Yeah. But, it's a notable release. On the 15th, we have Monster Rancher on the PS1.
Ooh. Classic.
So,
haven't played it yet.
Got a weird monster taming, collecting game, raising game. It's a pretty interesting game. I've always wanted to get into Monster Rancher. When I looked at it in magazines, it always looked cool. This is the first game in the series. Have you played it, Landon?
I have not played this one. Honestly, I was more into the like anime that had come out and like for the Monster Rancher.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They did try to make this series a thing, huh?
Yeah, they did. I mean, like a lot of like, I mean, it just sort of like fell to the wayside compared to Digimon and especially Pokemon.
Oh yeah,
but
for sure.
They were really trying to shoehorn as many of these like monster collection taming IPs as they could.
And funnily enough, we would get this before we would get the other stuff later. So yeah, it got crushed under the weight afterwards. But we have on the 17th, there's three releases we're going to go over. And let's just get the big one out of the way. On the Super Nintendo. Yes, the Super Nintendo in 1997. Kirby's Dream Land 3.
Plus 3 points for Kirby's Dream Land 3.
Just 3.
3 points. And plus a K for Kirby.
For Kirby.
For Kirby. K for Kirby.
What a great Kirby game to come out this late in the Super Nintendo's life cycle.
To be fair, Superstar came out the year before in 1996.
True.
It's so sad that...
What is it with Kirby games coming out super late into a console's life cycle? Because Kirby 64 was, like, super late, too.
I mean, at least the GameCube hadn't come out yet. I think the thing with Kirby is that it came out originally on the Game Boy in the mid-90s, which was like in the middle of the Game Boy's lifespan. So when they started putting it on other systems, those systems were either on their way out or were like already replaced by something else. So, but they wanted to get games out there, and this happened to be one of them. And Landon's probably as happy as can be that they decided to put this on Super Nintendo.
I'm also super happy that they put it on Wii U Virtual Console so I could actually play it, because this game's fucking expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it's the reason why I don't actually, like, go out of my way to collect Kirby games, because, like, I don't want to buy this game. Not because I don't like it. I love this game. I had a blast Let's Playing it.
Expensive.
It's very expensive, and I already, like, want enough expensive things. I have my limit.
Yep. Also on the 17th, pretty big release on the PS1, you had Parappa the Rapper.
Nice. Minus,
I gotta believe,
5 points because it's a Sony title, I guess.
Minus 5?
Yeah, minus 5 points.
Damn.
Did you...
Even though, even though this was...
Did you get the plus one for Bushido Blade?
When was Bushido Blade?
October 16th.
No, I did not.
Okay.
Shit. That kind of throws it out of whack.
Anyway.
Parappa, like, okay. Looked away, so I wasn't sure if you got it or not. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Parappa the Rapper was a pretty notable release for this year because it was back when Sony cared about interesting and innovative IP.
Yeah. Like, I think Parappa the Rapper is, like, it's a really cool IP, and, like, these games are a lot of fun. I'm still giving minus 5 points. I don't give a shit. Fuck off, Sony.
Do you have anything to add about Parappa the Rapper, Jack? Have you played this?
I like Parappa. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just the first one. But yeah, no, it's good. It's fucking... It's a rhythm game. I love rhythm games.
And then final release on the 17th, much less important than the other two. But it is an interesting release. We had a 3D puzzle game called IQ Intelligent Cube. I played a demo of this one time. It's interesting. It's one of these games where, like, if you first, like, pick it up the first few minutes, you're not going to see the vision. It's going to be like, I don't know what the hell I'm looking at or playing, but it is a pretty interesting game.
So if you play for 4 minutes, you get there and you see the vision?
You might need 6 or 7.
Oh.
Landon's like, I don't know if I have 6. Landon's like, I don't know if I have 6 or 7. I have kids to take care of.
I definitely don't have 6 or 7 minutes, period.
Exactly. On the 18th, crowded week, by the way, on the Sega Saturn, we have the release of Sonic R. Can you feel the sunshine?
I have not played the Saturn version specifically. When did the PC version come out?
The PC version came out,
let me see,
I believe the following year.
I don't care. Plus, I don't know. How many points do I give for Sonic R?
It came out almost exactly a year after on PC, November 11th of 98.
How many points do I give for Sonic R? It's my game.
It is your game.
It's
one
my
of them.
Game. It's one of them. Oh.
I've really...
I don't know, probably like...
God,
plus I've... 16 points for Sonic R.
Man, there's just... Okay. The one thing that I hate about this release is that they
just... Yeah, let's talk about, like...
Is that they
just... Let's just really talk about it.
They just didn't give us enough content, I swear. This would have been such a fucking good game if they just added more courses. Just more content.
Yeah.
That's it.
I agree.
Like the soundtrack,
really,
the soundtrack, like, slaps. The control,
the number of racers, honestly, is fine.
Yeah, there's like, there's like no 10 problem. That's fine.
Yeah, it's
technically yeah, 9. If you count Sonic I think,
and Supersonic,
yeah.
Well, if you count Sonic and Supersonic separate,
it's 10.
It's well, it's 11.
Is it okay?
Because it's the 5 plus the medals.
Yeah, so you have.
Oh no, it might be just 10. Yeah. Egg Pond. There was no Amy.
Yeah.
Crossover. Yeah, so it's just 10 with Supersonic, but it's still like at that point that's like more. What do you want?
That's more than Diddy Kong Racing and Mario Kart 64.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's not technically true. I think Diddy Kong Racing has a couple secret characters, so there's like 10 or 11 there too, but whatever.
Yeah, but it's like on par with Kirby, or not Kirby. It's on par with Kirby, but also it's on par with Diddy Kong Racing as far as like number of characters. It's really the course selection, because you have some game modes. You have like the versus mode. You have like a balloon battle type stuff. So you have like some like auxiliary modes. It's just there's 5 fucking courses.
And it's a shame, too, because, like, the courses have, like, some exploration to them. So could you imagine what it would have been like to just have 15 or 20 of those instead of just 5?
I feel like 12 courses, like, yeah, we could have wanted more, but, like, 12 good courses, easy. But, oh well, here we are. Yeah.
Awesome soundtrack. I re-listened to like the vocal tracks from the game. It's not a large soundtrack. There's like you could probably count the songs on like both hands, but it's
like 7.
It's so there's each of the courses has their 8. Own theme. There's one theme for the Supersonic Racing. There's the ending theme, and then there's the menu music. And I think that's it.
So 9, but it's the menu music.
It's different. It's that one that lyrical? Goes. It's not the vocal, but I mean like the total soundtrack. So okay, like, yeah. So yeah.
I thought you meant the vocals, like the vocal soundtrack is like.
To be fair,
but anyway,
the menu music is like the only song in the game that doesn't have vocals. So.
It doesn't have, yeah, it is. But it's a kick-ass menu song.
Oh yeah.
Too.
Boom, ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-dum, 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 ba-da-dum. It's, oh my god, such a good...
I don't want to talk about anything else.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's just talk about this for another hour, please.
Yeah. Sonic R.
This is longer than what it takes podcast. To 100% the game.
Yeah. Sonic R is like the potential man of games. It could have been so much better if they just gave it time and more content.
And then Sega was just like, we're never looking at this formula ever again.
Yeah. What a shame. On the 21st, there was the release of Tomb Raider 2 on PS1 and PC.
Tomb Raider!
This was back when Tomb Raider was a huge, huge series. Yeah. I haven't played it yet. I am interested in playing it at some point.
I have the Tomb Raider... I guess I have both the Tomb Raider 1 through 3 and the 4 through 6 collections on the Switch. Maybe someday.
Maybe someday. Jack, any thoughts on Tomb Raider 2?
Nope.
All right. And rounding out the end of the year, we have just a couple of things in December. First one on the 3rd, you had Bomberman 64 on the N64. Bomberman on N64. Bomberman. Haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
And then finally...
I think I have played this one.
Have you?
Just a little bit, not like a ton, but like I've played it like with friends before. It's fun.
And finally, on the 9th, we had the release of Quake 2 on PC, which is a big deal for PC players that love Quake 2 and not us.
Pretty much. I like Quake. I never played that much of it, but like from what I have played, I enjoyed it.
I never said you didn't like it. I just said it wasn't a big deal for us.
Well, yeah, because I was a baby at the time.
Yeah,
you were
as previously established.
A goo goo gaga shitting your pants, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Specifically. Also, I said goo goo gaga, and now my phone wants me to like tell it things. Whoops.
Hey, the fuck? Hey, Google, goo goo gaga.
Yeah. So that is the year of 1997. Before we get to Landon's awesome super special total, final thoughts on the year, Jack, 1997.
There's some good stuff here. It's not a huge year for games, but there are some pretty big ones. I'll give you a quick top five because this year is easy. It's Diddy Kong Racing, GoldenEye, Kirby's Dream Land 3, probably Tekken 3, and Star Fox 64.
Mine are going to be much more normie picks. Mine are extremely vanilla. Obviously, Final Fantasy 7, GoldenEye, Mario Kart, Diddy Kong Racing, and Crash Bandicoot 2. Like, the five games that you would have expected me to say. I said all five of them. There you go. But this is a pretty good year. I think I remember, like, hearing lots and lots of people saying, like, this was a crazy year. I don't see it being crazy, but it does have a lot of good stuff. And
yeah,
for a year in gaming where we're not quite as, like, saturated on releases, where there's not, like, 150 fucking games coming out, I mean, there's quite a bit of stuff to chew on here. And I like that there's, like, you got arcade games, you got PC, you got N64, you got PlayStation. For some reason, you have a couple Super Nintendo games. You've got some Game Boy games. It is a quiet year for Game Boy for the most part, but it's still got a few things there. Donkey Kong Land 3, probably the biggest one, arguably, of the releases. I think for, like, the average person, like, that playing Game Boy at this time, that's probably the big one. From what I might be wrong, but like, that's what I think. It's a...
I don't know.
And I mean, this year had Sonic R.
Yeah. Can't argue with that.
Sonic, baby. I mean...
Speaking of Sonic R, where did Sonic R help push Landon's total to, Jack?
The total that we are at right now is 65.64.
Out of 10, baby.
Out of 10.
65.64.
It's 65.64 plus K.
Plus K. Plus you got to remember.
True.
The K plus, constant. Plus K. For Kirby.
See, when I originally forgot Bushido Blade, or just wasn't paying attention when Lennon said it, originally, after the plus 6.4 for Diddy Kong Racing, we were at 64.64.
That would be funny.
Yeah. I'm not going to change it.
Nope, 65.64. Awesome.
Plus K. Yeah. Plus K constant for the Kirby band.
On a scale of what? That's for Landon to never tell any of us.
What
I'll
mean,
never
what,
tell.
What case with
like no the like no is. Like what the 65.64 is like us on a scale of like
oh no I said it's always out of 10
oh it's, out, are out of 10. It's always yeah. out of 10 okay
yeah. Right. Yeah, it just gets wild and crazy.
There you go.
Yeah,
so that was 1997. Landed
I
extra
can
thoughts?
I do a quick top five.
Yeah,
let's see if I can even do a quick type five.
I feel like there's quite a few games here that for you
not really. Kirby's Dream Land 3, Mole Mania,
baby.
Sonic R,
Donkey Kong Land 3,
Donkey Kong Land 3, and then this is where we get like a little gross. Like I can do 4.
I was gonna say the if you were curious about your biggest point increases, throughout this year. It's Donkey Kong Land 3 is number one by a mile with 684 points.
I did that on purpose.
Sonic R had a respectable 16 points. Mole Mania had 1,015,000,000.
That's probably the biggest number of points.
But
I think 1 billion is slightly bigger than 100.
The plus 117 for the TigerElectricsGame.com.
Plus?
Yeah.
Yeah, plus 117. I gave it a plus. That's what he said.
I had to balance it out from...
Final Fantasy VII? Getting minus 700? Yeah.
And even then, you were still 600 in the hole. It wasn't until Donkey Kong Land 3.
I know. I did that on purpose.
Yeah. and then you were 85 in the positives.
In the positive. Amazing. I didn't know exactly where I was at after that, but I knew I was at least in the positives.
Yeah.
All right. So that was 1997. You can always let us know.
Yeah, I guess I only have a top four for this fucking year.
No Diddy Kong Racing? You could just toss in Diddy Kong
Racing. No. No. I'll give it to Bushido Blade. Fuck it.
Fuck
Bushido
it. Blade. Yeah, Bushido Blade.
Bushido Blade.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I played that game once.
Hell yeah. Jack.
Hi.
What you been up to?
What have I been up to? Let's see.
What you been up to?
What have I been up to? I always got to look at my calendar to see, like, when was the last stream? I mean, it was obviously 2 weeks ago, but, like, what the date 19th. Was. Okay, the 19th. Let's see.
Of November.
Back in...
Happy December, by the way, everybody.
Happy December. Let's see. Where the fuck is my... There it is. I went to a big emo show up in Pontiac for Saturdays at Your Place and like seven other bands. It was like a huge like two tours converge into one show type deal, and it was also like a hometown show for them, so it was fun. It was a great time. I went with Bethany and we had fun. I only went to two shows this past 2 weeks, and they were both emo bands.
Damn.
On the day before Thanksgiving, I went to go see Algernon Cadwallader in Chicago, which is probably like my single favorite emo band in existence. And they're fantastic. I've seen them live once before on their reunion tour, and it was really fun. They put out an album this year that I really enjoyed, and it was cool to see the new songs played live. But outside of that. Fuck, I tried to grab it. Play more of this.
Whoa.
More Pokemon Legends ZA. Hey, I am convinced that the internet was just trying to gaslight people into thinking that this game is bad. It's really fun, honestly. Okay,
but does it look like a 13-year-old scribbled on a piece of paper?
It looks fine. Honestly, I'm playing the Switch 2 version, so like it's gonna graphically look better than the Switch 1 version, but like,
yeah,
I'm having fun with it.
It's still a Pokemon game, so the graphics aren't like the most impressive, but like I was surprised to see like lighting and textures and shading look all right. Like,
it runs well.
It runs really okay, well.
And it looks passable. That's all I really need.
Okay,
like it doesn't have to be like the greatest graphical achievement in history to look good.
Yeah, and but I want it to be good. Uncharted 4.
No, I'm having fun with it. I'm getting pretty close to the end, I feel
what
like.
Rank are you?
I don't know how much more I have left. I just got to rank D a little bit ago.
Still got a ways to go. Honestly, how many hours in are you?
Like 23.
You?
I've been doing like a lot of side stuff too. Like I've been going out of my way to do like all of the side missions, and I've been like hitting up every single wild area and catching every Pokemon in said wild area.
I want to say you're probably somewhere around 60% to 65% of the way through the game. Like you're pretty far in, but you still got a ways to go.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's fair. I mean, I've been playing a good chunk of that, and I'm having fun with
Glad
it.
Glad to hear you're having
despite
fun.
Despite what the internet told me I should think about it, it's a good game. And it's probably the best Pokemon game I've played in a long time.
Nice.
The best new one, anyway. Aside from that, I got a stack of shit back here.
Shit. I love shit. I'm gonna save the two big ones for that.
We'll get to that. This past month has been yet another Criterion 50% off sale.
Oh, I love Criterion 50% off sales.
It's the only time to buy Criterion movies, honestly, because otherwise they are expensive.
It's the only time they're almost affordable.
Yeah. And I got some cool stuff. I got, let's see, The French Dispatch. Ooh. By Wes Anderson.
Love that.
An anthology movie. Let's see. GDT's Pan's Labyrinth.
Ooh.
Which is a classic. I love this movie. Fucking real old classic, Ingmar Bergman's The Seventh Seal.
Ooh.
Which, I don't, like, for those not familiar with this movie, if you've seen, like, pictures of, like, the guy who plays chess on the beach with the Grim Reaper, that's this movie.
Mm.
I don't know if I have.
Let's see. I got Wim Wenders, Paris, Texas. This one is a blind buy. I have not seen this one yet, but I've seen stills from this movie, and it has some absolutely gorgeous shots. I don't like to watch movie trailers before I watch a movie because I feel like it gives too much away. I just like to see, like, give me some stills. Give me, like, 4 stills from this movie, and I'm sold. And okay. They looked good. And this is one we just watched the other day for the first time. The Sword of Doom, which is an old... Let's see. Kihachi Okamoto's The Sword of Doom, which is an old samurai movie.
Okay. I love it.
Like, late... It's late shogunate era, so, like... 1860s is when it takes place, and it's just about, like, this samurai who, like, has no moral compass and just kills everyone without a care in the world, but it, like, eventually drives him to madness, and you just kind of see, like, the course of him, like, slowly losing his sanity and, like, his grip on, like, who he is as a person.
Interesting.
And I think it's really interesting. It's a great movie.
If, I like that.
Landon, you would really like this, I think.
It sounds like something I'd really enjoy.
I think it's very funny that Toshiro Mifune, who's in a shitload of Akira Kurosawa movies, he is, like the second highest billed actor for this movie, but he's in one scene.
That's awesome.
Because, like, yeah, no, it's great. It's like he's in one scene for maybe 5 minutes of this movie, but it's like, man, when he does show up, it's like, oh shit, there he is.
He's a great, great actor. He's
fucking phenomenal.
He's phenomenal
actor
in, like, just about everything I've seen him in. So yeah. It's not surprising that he would be second bill. He's just in there for a second.
It's almost more of a cameo than anything. Yeah. But it's great. Great movie. Awesome. And then I got some stuff from Landon.
Who?
For you.
Me.
Yeah.
That's
for
weird.
Hanukkah question mark.
We were discussing this yesterday on stream, and I've come to a decision now, with some thought and clarity. They are Advent gifts, but you're not getting
Advent
one for
gifts.
Every single fucking day of Advent. Go fuck yourself.
But yeah, Landon has gifted me with
Boom
Trails in the Sky first chapter for Nintendo Switch, baby.
You can buy the upgrade pack for $1.
Yeah,
hell yeah. I'm excited to play this. It's
game,
like,
of the year, baby.
I mean, I think I own the first game on Steam as well.
I think,
but
you,
like,
do.
I think with, like, having it on Switch, plus with it being a remake, will probably give me, like, more of an incentive to, like, play through it.
It's awesome.
No, yeah, this... Fuck yeah. I mean, I was very happy to see this. And also, Once Upon a Katamari, the newest Katamari Damacy game.
Neat.
Which I have not played yet, but it's, from what I've heard, it's another Katamari, and not in a bad way.
No, it's a good...
It's a good Katamari, too.
It's not just like a rehash Katamari like the last 15 Katamaris have been.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the stuff I got.
Nice.
And the shit I've been up to. So what about you, Cloud?
So we last left off on the 19th. I am pretty sure last I had left off, I was playing through trying to finish the Final Fantasy Tactics Ivalice Chronicles. I did beat that, so I have beaten Final Fantasy Tactics for, I think, the 5th or 6th time in my life.
Damn.
I still love that game so much. I'll probably play through it a 7th time in, like, another 5 years. We'll see. I really like the voice acting. The voice acting in that game was really good. Like, that they didn't have, like, voice acting for, like, the whole game. They just had it for, like, certain scenes in, like, the previous time that they released it on War of the Lions. So having, like, just fully voiced the whole game through every scene, they had additional scenes that weren't in any of the games before. They added new dialogue for certain side characters that you could get in certain, like, if you bring them to certain fights. Like, they really upped their game with it. So, like, I loved playing it again.
Is it a good remake?
Yeah.
Even without the War of the Lions nonsense.
Oh, yeah. I feel like each version of Final Fantasy Tactics has its own, like, thing to bring to the table. And this is just another good version of Final Fantasy Tactics. And honestly, the voice acting is, like, makes it, like, if you want to get into the, just get into Final Fantasy Tactics for the first time, the best version, in my opinion. So, yeah, great game. I have been playing Pokemon XD Gale Darkness because...
Hell yeah.
I played through the rest of Colosseum, and I was like, you know what? I want to go back to Gale Darkness. So I've been playing that. I apparently have made it to the final dungeon of the game. That's not saying a whole lot, though, because that final dungeon in the game is gigantic. Really long. It's like... So yep. I'm at Citadark Isle. I am going to try and make my way through. I've been purifying Pokemon as much as I can. I've been trying to, like, catch everything that I can. I've been, every time the Mirror Beast signal pops up, I try and go find him because I have some Shadow Pokemon I need to snag from him. I am having fun with it. I think there's certain things about it I don't like quite as much as Colosseum, but then there's other aspects that make it better than Colosseum. So I'd probably still put it, like, net better, like, than Colosseum overall, because it's better in the important way, which is the gameplay. The gameplay is just better, but it does, I think my thing about, like, I like Colosseum's, like, world building a little bit better. Like, it is cool that you get to see how Ore has changed, but I feel like the atmosphere of Colosseum was, like, just something I clicked with more. But it's still great.
It was grittier.
Yeah, it was grittier.
It was grittier.
And it, like,
I feel like for Colosseum.
And I wasn't, and I don't think that's, like, as a tacky or cheesy way. Like, they executed that well in Colosseum, which was which made it cool. Like, it's still good. Like, it's nice to see how Ore has changed, and, like, the characters still make a nice world building aspect of it. But I don't know. At least the gameplay is great. I've been making weird team building decisions. I'm using a Lunatone for the first time in my entire life. And it's working. It's doing wonders. It throws out rock tombs for speed control, and it has levitate, so my Sand Slash can click the earthquake button. Thumbs up.
It's a... I mean, yeah. I think my biggest issue with XD is two of the dungeons are, like,
really massive. Long. Yeah.
Massive slogs.
Like, both the Cypher Key layer and the Citadark Isle that comes right after it. The last two dungeons are just really long.
They are big. And, like, Colosseum, it, like, there's some, like, longer sections, but, like, nothing, like, that huge. I said maybe the Shadow Lab.
Yeah, and I think part of the thing that makes XD feel long is, like, because you can purify Shadow Pokemon much faster, but you can't just do it wherever. You have to go back to specific places to do it. You're incentivized to keep leaving where you are, go do some tasks, and then, like I mentioned, the Mirror B thing as well, and Poke Spots where you can catch stuff. You're incentivized to constantly leave where you are, go check on shit, then come back, and then continue on. Colosseum, you might have to do that sometimes to heal, but there's usually a healing spot, and the purifying process is usually a little slower, so it's not, like, it's totally, like, you need to, like, leave and come back later. So the pacing is a little off, but, like, overall it's a fun game. I'm really glad I'm finally playing through it, and I will definitely be finishing it pretty soon.
Hell yeah.
I've also been playing Breath of Fire 2 on the Game Boy Advance. I just kind of just decided to pop it in on a whim because I was like, I got extra time before the Pokemon DLC comes out, and I'm still putting off Digimon Story Time Stranger for a little bit. So throw that shit in there. I'm having fun with it. I remember enjoying it when I first played it about, like, 10 years ago or so. I forgot how funny and sometimes bad the English translation of that game is. It's funny. Guys, did you know that a sword has a long blade? Because I didn't know that until the game told me a sword has a long blade. Yeah.
And here I thought all swords were short swords.
Nope. According to Breath of Fire 2,
no way.
A sword has a long blade.
Okay.
Wow.
One thing I like about Breath of Fire 2 is that, like, none of the main characters that you play, that you have for your party, are actual, like, humans. Like, they are, like, the closest one is your actual main character, Ryu, and he's, like, a dragon-blooded character, but he's, like, presents as a human, but he can like turn into a dragon. But there's like an armadillo as like one. There's like a dog. There's a cat girl. There is an angel.
Obviously.
There's just none of the characters are human, and I kind of fuck with it. It's just a weird bunch of misfits of different species. It's pretty cool. But that's fun. I'm having fun with it. The music is really good. Like, if you've never heard Breath of Fire music, Breath of Fire 2 soundtrack is pretty nice. So, yeah, those are the two games I've mostly been playing. Have I been doing anything else that was interesting as of late? Not really. Work has been really exhausting, so I've just been kind of, like, doing that. So, yeah. Landon, how about you?
Hi. Doing well. I finished Chapter 3 of Trails in the Sky, first chapter remake for the Nintendo Switch Family of Entertainment Systems.
Do you mean this game?
That game right there.
That game that Jack is holding up now in his hand called Trails of the Sky, first chapter, for the listeners.
Yes. So I got to the end of Chapter 3 and I was like, ah, good. Break time before Metroid Prime 4 miss, baby!
Yeah. Metroid Prime 4 will be out
it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow as of our live stream, but by the time this goes out to the platform, it's already out.
It's Metroid Prime 4 Miss Eve. That's today.
It's true. Happy Metroid Prime 4 release.
Must. So I took a break from Trails because I knew I wasn't going to be able to beat the game before then. So I've decided to put like 20 hours into Kirby Air Riders. Actually, let me see where I'm at.
You've been enjoying it. Like you've been.
I've been playing a fuck ton of it. I have the checklists for Top Ride and a Road Trip at above 90% completed. I've been playing a lot of Air Ride mode. I haven't even touched City Trial, and I'm like, that's probably going to be the next thing eventually.
I will say, you've been giving me a bit of FOMO for not having this game yet.
To quote the Dunkey video, or the Dunkey review that he put out for the game, City Trial is like Fortnite if it was good.
It's not an incorrect statement.
Not an incorrect statement.
It really is.
It's not that I have anything against City Trial. It's just like, It is its own beast. And also you do get like a good taste of City Trial in Road Trip because it's basically like small challenges from all of the three major game modes as you play through. So you get plenty of City Trial like stadium challenges. So like I am not missing that. According to the Nintendo Switch shop app, I'm at 14 hours into Kirby Air Riders right now.
Sounds about
As of this moment, which is not double the amount of Mario Kart World that I have, which is like, I think 8.5 hours I put into that game so far. But it's very close to double. Which is what I said I'd probably be at because of just how fun it is. I love it. I think it's just a lot of fun to just jump in and, like, especially, like, Top Ride. You can finish, even, like, 4 laps of Top Ride in 1.5 minutes. Just going after the challenges, it's a ton of fun. So, like, that's why I've been having fun with it. Especially Gooey. Like, you can just play as Gooey.
Gooey.
Super awesome. Gooey.
It's true.
Gooey.
That's been the major thing I've been playing. I have been playing a little bit of Alleyway through NSO. Because, I don't know.
You're like, I'm in the mood for a Game Boy game.
Well, there's been a couple nights where, like, Felicity, like, when she's trying to go to sleep, she's been with me, and the visual stimulation of Kirby is a little bit too much for kids.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot going on there. So whereas a Game Boy game, not so much. I can get away with a little bit of Game Boy screen time versus.
Honestly, that's Kirby a clever way to get back into some Game Boy goodness.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm gonna play some Alleyway, and I'm up into like level 22 or 23. I've been just like letting it ride. I will rewind. I don't give a shit. I'm sitting there with a child who sometimes like goes and grabs at my screen, and I'm like, no.
Honestly, stop that. I mean, any Game Boy game like that, I feel like at this point in time, like, there's nothing, you can't be faulted for having to use rewinds or save states. Like, if you gotta do it, you gotta do it.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
I wanted to play it for real.
Just, as long as you're having a good time, who cares?
Yeah. I really just want to see, like, what the level cap is. I know I could look it up, but I also just want to see, like, what the block patterns are too.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's a good breakout clone, so
yeah, I have heard that.
It's not a bad one. Let's see, I got an early advent gift.
Yeah,
although I might have to return it because I don't think this was meant to be for me. It's weird.
No,
Final Fantasy Tactics Advance complete in
Final
box.
Fantasy
it's complete
Tic-Tacs.
In the box.
Final, yeah, it's weird.
Did it
come? Not a me thing.
Did it come in the case, or did you like?
It did.
Oh wow!
No,
that's awesome.
This is exactly how it came out of the box, slightly crushed and all.
Only slightly. Listen, slightly. At least it's in better shape than that Barbie game you showed us.
It truly is. I haven't even like taken it out because I'm like I just want to kind of keep it in there.
So I'm not gonna lie, I got that for you when I saw that you had Final Fantasy Tactics A2, but not the first Tactics. I was like,
it's Final Fantasy Tactics A2. I think was the first Final Fantasy game I've ever purchased. Period. I have not played that.
Well, now you That's have me. The original, and you can...
I have the original. Now I can play... And I have Final Fantasy Tactics, the... the one that just came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have the Switch remake of it, so...
You
I
can,
could play that
You can play
that.
Those, no other Final Fantasy games, and when people ask you about Final Fantasy, you can be like, yeah, I played that one on the Game Boy Advance, the Tactics, right?
Yeah, Tactics. I love Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
So those are that. That's. I mean, we had Thanksgiving. That was its own nightmare. Let's see. 2 days after this podcast goes out to audio listeners and onto YouTube, I will have a band concert.
Neat.
Nice.
The day before that. I am being asked to play at the mall. So maybe I'll get
okay.
shot. Ooh. It'll be cool.
Fun.
Yeah. So it'll
be
like.
The mall that you used to work at?
Yeah, the mall I used to work at specifically.
We'll tell us how that
like
goes
some
in
small,
the next episode.
Like, little concert. Like, not. Some, like. I will be in, like, a. Trombone quartet or quintet playing a couple Christmas carols like for advertising the concert the next day. So that's a thing. So yeah, I'll let you guys know how that goes. But yeah, that's what I have coming up. I don't think I have anything else.
Alrighty then. Yeah. So thank you all for tuning in. We've got our usual places you can find us, but roll the outro. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Gaming Stooges Talks podcast. If you enjoyed us, consider subscribing to our podcast RSS feed or follow us on youtube.com/gamingstooges and twitch.tv/gamingstooges for more gaming content. If you'd like to chat with us, join our Discord. The link can be found in the episode description. We also want to thank all of our Patreon supporters. Your continued support means a lot to us. Not already one? Please take a look at what we have to offer anyone who becomes a patron at patreon.com/gamingstooges. See you next time!